Rediscovering Self is a podcast that addresses the daily ramblings of the mind and talks about what influences the way we think and how we can cope in an ever-changing world. This podcast is brought to you by Amrutam, an Ayurvedic lifestyle brand and wellness community. Hey everyone, and welcome back to a brand new episode of the Amrutam podcast, Rediscovering Self. This is Preeti, your host, and it's episode 9 of this season already. What a massive journey this has been, and what a treasure trove of thoughts have been shared on this podcast. It amazes me. And what also makes me feel so good is the fact that so many of you have been listening to this and actually sending feedback. Thank you for taking out the time and telling us how much you love this podcast. And we aim to keep bringing you more of this. Speaking of social media, that is exactly what today's episode is about. I'm addicted to social media. And joining me to discuss this is Mr. Akashdeep Ghoshal. Akash is a clinical psychologist and a research scholar based in Greater Noida. He has over 5 years of experience practicing in various hospitals and clinics. And beyond his affiliation with hospitals, he has been professionally active in many ways. He has finished his MPhil in clinical psychology from the Rehabilitation Council of India as well. Hi, Akash. Thanks so much for joining us here on Rediscovering Self today. It's an absolute pleasure to be hosting you over here.
Hi, Preeti. I'm really happy and thankful to you because you took this initiative of discussing such important matters in hand nowadays.
Absolutely. I think that's one of the main reasons that we went ahead with starting the podcast, because we really wanted to pick up matters that are relevant to today's day and age. And I feel like the topic that we're discussing today is so, so relevant because it is all around us and half our lives exist on it. The thought that we have for today is that I'm addicted to social media. And social media itself, like, where to even begin? There is so much to talk about over there, the goods, the bads, the uglies. And I think what I really want to start with you is just to understand, you know, how social media really impacts our behavior and our mood. Because the entire ecosystem of social media, whether it's a social media platform, an app or a website or a streaming platform, all of it is designed to keep us hooked, you know, like hit next video, keep scrolling. So how does being on social media impact our mood and our behavior?
So everything you said, Preeti, was absolutely true. It was completely right, each and every single word which you uttered. Now, right now, you see, people are living two different lives. One being the online and the other being the offline. So, which was not the case before. Right now, this has become a matter of necessity. One is forced to be more active online rather than offline. When I say offline, I say the real world around, by the way. Offline here, I mean to say the real world around. Now, when I talk about, you see, the online world, now, when I talk about the online world, the major chunk of the online world is dominated by social media. To an extent, it is not a bad thing at all. I'll tell you why later on. Let's try to understand one basic factor here. That is, what exactly is media? It is basic media. See, something which we all talk about, that it is just a platform, right? It's just a platform via which the society in large gets information. Now, whether the information is political or about entertainment, sports, etc. and etc., right? So the most important part of media lies in one thing, one basic thing, that is exchange of ideas and opinion, or maybe perspective. This is the basic thing. And if I club in, or maybe if I give a summary, the main function of the media is exchanging communication. That is communication. That is the communication, basically. And there is no harm in that, and that is absolutely necessary. See, after all, we are social animals, right? We are social animals, and communication is necessary, and media is just providing a platform. But gradually, what happened? Gradually, the only difference which has come is the change of platform and nothing else. You see, earlier, there was only print media. If I just say earlier, it was a print media. If I go around maybe 100 years down the line, there was only print media, like newspapers, flyers, etc. And then later on, when the advancement of the technology, then the broadcast media came into the picture, like television and radio. Then gradually, as the science progressed, then the digital media came into picture. Digital media, like what we are talking about today, is the internet. Which, now when I say about internet, right, it obviously involves the social media. The main hot topic nowadays, that is the social media. Now, coming to the main point which you asked here also. Now, see, it's very important to understand. As I mentioned, through media, one expresses themselves, right? Now, imagine a situation. Imagine a situation where one's opinion are not heard, not appreciated. And let's say, maybe not even accepted, right? So, then the person will obviously develop question in their head like, why am I not heard? Why people ridicule me? Why people don't like my pictures? Why people don't give me positive comments on the pictures which I post? Am I different from somebody? Is there something wrong with me? These are the questions which are going to come in one's head if the person is not getting any kind of positive reinforcement from the social media source. Now, this in itself, it's very interesting to know. Now, this in itself makes them hooked to the social media. That is, they start comparing themselves with others. They try to fit into the trend where they will be liked, where they will be liked. Or shall I say, the picture will get likes. So this was just an example here that in order to get some kind of validation, acceptance, they try to do different stuff so that they themselves get accepted or maybe get a sense of validation. But we do not, it is important to understand, even after such efforts of seeking validation, if one is not able to find the answers for the question which I mentioned before, if the one person is not able to find the answers, then from that moment, it's a complete downward spiral road for them, affecting their mood, disturbing their interpersonal relationship and whatnot. If the person is in academic setup, the academics are going to go down the drain. If the person is working somewhere, the professional life is going to go down the drain. And most importantly, the most important part here is the self-worth. Person's self-worth is going to get affected. So the mood itself gets affected. The person's social life, personal life, that gets affected. The person's self-worth gets affected. These three are the major concepts which gets effective only when you start getting hooked to the social media and start comparing yourself with the screen itself. What you see in the screen, you start comparing with it. That's not the right thing, because that directly affects the psychological health.
Right. I think that makes a lot of sense. And there were some very interesting points that you brought up over there. I think when it comes to self-worth and validation, particularly, like a lot of, as you rightly said, our life is on social media, and inadvertently maybe our self-worth is getting very reliant on a certain number of likes or comments or responses.
Absolutely.
Or basically external validation, right? Mm-hmm. So in seeking that validation, I'm also consuming a lot of content when I'm there, mm-hmm. right? Which makes me somehow aspire to a standard that only if my life is a certain way, am I worthy of that validation? Or only if my if I'm vacationing someplace like someone else, or if I am, you know, buying a new car or celebrating something, that is the only time that I deserve that validation, or, you know, I want it. So, yes. all of this seems very tied together. So I just want to understand, you know, where does this come from? Like, what is the root of this thought itself? And why do we chase it so much?
Okay, now let me make you understand it. Let me talk it in the sense, taking an example, right? So the example is, for example, let's just understand here. I'll take myself in the example, right? I uploaded a picture where I am thinking I'm looking very handsome. If I'm thinking that I'm looking very handsome, then I would expect likes, right? Or some kind of positive comments. Similarly, if I put a question on social media, I think I've seen people post questions on Instagram, and I have seen people they post something on their status, Facebook status or WhatsApp status. And the statuses are like questions, and they expect an answer from the crowd. So this expectation, right? So let's say I put a question on social media, or I gave a comment. So I would get a following. I would like to get a following reply. After all, you know, that is how one communicates on social media. That is how we communicate in a real life setting also. I give some comment and the other person revert to it. The same thing happens in social media also. Now in case, if I'm not getting any like or nobody is replying, what will be the question in my head again? Didn't people like my picture? Or was my comment not cool enough? Or was my comment not appropriate enough? So I will be in a state of anticipation. There will be a constant anticipation in my head. Like, please, somebody needs to press a like button. Why is not somebody commenting? I will be constantly anxious because I am expecting it. Now, this anticipation creates a very prominent distress within us. Like, if one's life revolves around a social media, now this fear of missing out on any kind of positive comment or like make life of like living hell. The fear of missing out on any kind of positive comment, I'm expecting this anxiety, why am I not getting it? Why am I not getting a like? This anxiety is something which often nowadays has been referred to as a fear of missing out. I think you might have heard the term FOMO.
Yes.
Right? Absolutely. This is the fear of missing out, actually. Hmm. Now, here, what makes things worse for people who are experiencing FOMO if they see that they're known people, the known one are having a party, let's say, or they are having some kind of gathering where they have not been invited. Then this again makes the condition worse. Because this made the condition worse because since the start only, they are expecting some kind of social validation, some kind of acceptance. Now, if they see a picture on social media of their friends hanging out, having a party, having a gala time, and then they feel dejected. They feel rejected. Like, why was I not invited? So according to various prominent theory also, you know what? There are various prominent theory, like psychological theory, which exists behind the concept of the FOMO. Now, one states that FOMO is something which is especially experienced who have very, very low self-worth and are unable to maintain a healthy relationship in their real life setting. This is not something which the mental health professional nowadays are saying, but this is something which has been established via very prominent quantitative researches. Now, due to which they create a false. Now, See, now due to which they create a very false, comfortable, very fragile bubble. It's like a bubble. They create that bubble which needs constant information from the external world. The world, the thing which you were telling me, right? Once we start scrolling on YouTube, we keep on scrolling from A to Z, from the start to the scratch. When we start following a page, we see one page and then we constantly keep on scrolling down and down and down. Why? Because the simple thing here is the comfortable bubble which has been created, it needs constant information from the external world in order to survive. That wow. bubble is such fragile that the bubble in itself, it is a sucker. It's a sucker of information, and in order to survive, it's like a leech. It's like a leech, especially in order to survive, it needs a host. And the host is what? And the host is external stimuli.
Right.
But unfortunately, what is happening is we are giving the food to the external bubble. Now, think this is very important to understand. Now, let's say, what happens with the patient who are experiencing FOMO? They wish to keep a track of all what is happening in others' life, especially social life. This gradually leads to a development of the thought, like, why was I not involved? Why was I not invited? See, these thoughts again leads to development of the negative mood. This kind of thought again leads to development of anxiety. Because anxiety, why did I say anxiety? Because obviously they are in a constant state of distress. Like, why people are not commenting? Why people not liking my picture? Why am I not invited in the party? So this is the anxiety spectrum, right? This is the anxiety component. While on the other hand, the depressive component here is, which will go hand in hand. I'm anxious about it. And then at the same point of time, because I was not invited, I'm very sad because of that. So they often go hand in hand. The person is become anxious as well as depressed. I'm not saying anxious to an extent, like just normal day-to-day term anxious. I'm talking from the perspective of clinical level of anxiety.
Right. I think a couple of things that you mentioned over there, I just want to quickly touch upon them. One was about self-worth. And from what I can understand, that is the root of a lot of this. Right? Like it is a low level of self-worth that leads to that level of insecurity, and then it leads to FOMO, which in turn can lead to clinical anxiety and depression. So now that we know that this is the root of where all of this is originating from, which also causes the social media addiction and causes, you know, the spiraling into a rabbit hole of content and then feeling worse about oneself and just going into a vicious cycle. Is there anything that we can do voluntarily to kind of tackle this, you know, because ultimately I think we can agree that weaning off of social media is maybe much healthier than, you know, just staying over there and feeling bad about everything and then spiraling once again. But the question remains, how do I tackle the root so that the rest of it that's branching out from it at least reduces, if not goes entirely?
Okay. So now let's try to understand from again this perspective here. One very, very basic thing. One need to understand the severity of the condition. It is very important to understand the severity of the condition. Like, if the person is actually in a very clinical level of anxiety or in a very clinical level of depression, I personally advise to that person that please go and visit a mental health professional. Because it is just not like we are not just tackling with social media addiction. No, we are tackling with it with the consequences also. What we are tackling with the anxiety and the depression. And the anxiety and the depression are clinical illnesses. So now if you see, when I say depression, there are certain classical symptoms or classical phenomena which are associated to depression. Like the mood will be upset, right? And then the energy level will be very low. And throughout the time, the attention and the concentration will be very low. In case of, then there will be memory problems. There will be reduction of, reduction of appetite, reduction of sleep. There will be all these parameters which would fit in for the diagnosis of clinical depression. Same way for anxiety spectrum also. It will fit in to the diagnosis of complete anxiety spectrum illness. So, the only thing, if it is the main thing which should be done is to go and visit a mental health professional. That is all I would rather say, depending on the severity of the condition.
How does one identify how severe the condition is? Because, okay, let me speak personally for myself over here. I suffer from chronic anxiety. I have a minor addiction to social media, largely because my whole career... my career is centered around social media and I go for therapy. So it has taken me some time to understand, you know, how this whole root cause can be identified, that there are self-worth issues, there are certain other issues that need to be tackled. But when I began therapy, it was just for anxiety. So it took me some time to actually drill down to the multiple roots of the problem. But then the very reason I went for therapy is because my anxiety had gone out of control. But for someone who is just simply, you know, scrolling social media, say 16 hours a day, how does one actually begin to identify that there is a problem and that maybe professional help is the path to be taken?
See, that's an important question because it's not something, it's not an easy thing to understand. We generally say, the biggest or the most difficult part, you can understand math easily, you can understand chemistry or physics easily, but understanding oneself is the most difficult part. So same way, if you are having any kind of clinical or any kind of problem, whether it's anxiety or depression, the classic thing which we need to observe here is the whether my social, personal and occupational or academic life is getting worse or not. If these three parameters are getting worse or getting affected, then one should introspect that yes, there might be some kind of psychological issue, some kind of emotional issue which is bothering me. So for example, let's take a very easy example here. As you said, anxiety, depression, or self-worth, they are something which cannot be seen easily. They cannot be seen. They are a very, they are vague concept and cannot be seen. They are not concrete. The only thing which can be seen is the, what I said, that is the performance in the social, occupational, and personal life. When one sees that these three parameters are getting affected, that when the antenna should be up and one should start thinking that yes, it's a high time that I need to go and visit a mental health professional.
Right. So I think there has to be some level of understanding of the self, right, in terms of physical symptoms, in terms of what's going on in the head, in terms of behavior. Just to make it easier, you know, for people who might not be able to understand immediately, are there any, you know, broad symptoms that you could maybe give us, you know, to look out for as red flags?
See, yes, very, there are. As I mentioned, first and foremost, broad symptoms would be the mood will be low compared to what it was before. And when I say mood, we need to classify mood in the sense of at least a period of 14 to 15 days. It is not that only for 1 or 2 days I'm staying upset. No, for a period of at least minimum criteria is 14 to 15 days. For at least a period of 14 to 15 days, if I'm seeing that I'm staying upset, I don't feel like talking to somebody, and my energy level throughout the day is less. And same way, my bio drive, that is the sleeping habits, the eating habits, they are getting complete out of the line. These are certain indicators, as I mentioned. These things are the warning signs. Ki yes, something could be wrong with me. This is, I'm talking from the cluster of the depression. While in case of anxiety, see, in case of anxiety, where I'm talking about the social media and the FOMO, right? So here, one person, a patient came to me once, and that person told me that during sleep also, I would get up 9-10 times just to see how many likes or whether anybody commented on my picture or not. So the first thing which we need to see, like the sleep disturbance, whether my sleep is getting disturbed or not, whether how many times am I getting up in the during the night. Even if I am getting up in the night, whether I'm getting up just to go to the washroom, or is it I'm waking up to check my phone. So these are the certain things which one need to look for, because these are visible symptoms or visible signs. If they are visible, then we need to visit a mental health professional.
Okay. Yeah, I think this is very crisp and clearly defined. And maybe, you know, people listening, in case there are any symptoms very similar to this, and especially I think the biggest one is that if you just can't get off your phone, maybe there's something to think of and something to actually dive into over there. So this is really interesting. And I have just one last question for you, Akash. In case of those of us who cannot, or who do not have access to a mental health professional at this time, is there anything that we can start doing for ourselves in terms of behavioral changes or habits that might help us start getting better?
Till the time one person is not visiting a mental health professional, there are certain very like easily available application on Google Play or maybe or the Android's Apple Store. So using those application, I won't like to name those application because people may think that I'm advertising that application, but I'm just saying there are various applications which can be used, and they are very, very effective. That those applications can actually limit one's internet or maybe one particular application uses. For example, if I say, if those applications, what they do is they block the application from opening. They will, let's say I downloaded the application, and then I'll select which app can be opened for only 5 times a day, right? So now after 5 times, then I won't be able to open the application at all. And if I remove the application, which is blocking that application from opening, that also is not possible. So there is no option to unlock the application. So these are such applications are present on Google Play Store, which can be installed and utilized very, very well. And another thing which can be involved are the family members. Like telling the family members, like whenever you think I am using my phone quite excessively, quite more, please take it from me. It's okay. Like being taking away the phone for at least 1 hour or 2 hours is fine, absolutely, if the family members are also in sync with the patient's condition. I wouldn't say the patient's condition, in condition with the person. On another hand, for example, this is very, very useful. This works in case of addiction problem also. And in case of addiction problem, and at the same point of this social media addiction problem, let's say one needs to identify during which period of time I am using the social media most. Let's say, for example, I'm using social media from 8 o'clock till 12 o'clock, the maximum time, right? So at that point of time, choose something. For example, go to a gym, try doing certain, develop a new hobby in which you will be forced to go. That is the word, you will be forced to go. Gym, because if you do not go to gym, the family members can actually take away the phone. These plans can be created if the person's condition is not very severe. But if the condition reaches a maximum level, a very serious level, then the mental health professional needs to be in the picture. But the best thing is the usage of application. This is the most easiest and most, it is quite useful.
Right. I think this is very helpful, especially, you know, for those of us who don't have immediate access to therapy or might not know that we need therapy. I think to start off with, these are some very useful steps, you know, having a support system who can help you wean off your usage, using apps that can limit usage, and definitely involving or spending some time with some activities that really restrict your phone usage and force you to, you know, invest time elsewhere, and in turn actually are very fulfilling in their own way. I think that's one of my favorite things to do and is definitely very helpful. I feel like this whole discussion has been very, very valuable. There's been so much to take away, Akash. I have to thank you so much. Thanks so much, Akash. This was very, very interesting, very enlightening. Rediscovering Self is a podcast that addresses the daily ramblings of the mind and talks about what influences the way we think and how we can cope in an ever-changing world. This podcast is brought to you by Amrutam, an Ayurvedic lifestyle brand and wellness community.